Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we invite you to call now. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're struggling with, the number is 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you're listening overnight on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us in the same way, by voicemail, as a matter of fact, and we'll discuss it soon on Basic Gospel. So again, in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, good to have you with us again on this Wednesday. And it's going to be great fun talking about Jesus and the grace of God. And a topic that's been really important to me of late, and something that I've been looking a lot into, is this idea that that many people are putting out there, that there's more than one gospel, and that means that there's distinct peoples of God, and God has different plans for each particular group. But Paul seems to really cut right through that and dismiss that in Galatians chapter 1, when he says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Not that there is another one. So he says very clearly that there's only one gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on to say, "If we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than the one we've preached to you, let him be accursed." And then he repeats that. And so it's pretty clear here that there's one gospel. It's the gospel of grace, and it's been saving people all along, hasn't it?
Yes. In fact, you find Paul emphasizing this in Ephesians 4 as well. He says there's one gospel, there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And isn't that the whole point of predestination, that it brings the two groups, the Jew and the Gentile, it brings them together into one new person, and there's not separate messages? But I'll tell you, Bob, you're exactly right that there's this pervasive idea today that there's, oh, I don't know, here's the new covenant for the Jew only, and then here's Paul's gospel for the Gentile, and that sort of thing. And then you just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and the whole thing is blown to smithereens, because Paul says to Greek people, he says, you guys are ministers of the new covenant. And they're not Israelites, they're not Jews, they're sitting there in the city of Corinth, they're as Greek as can be, and he is saying, you guys are ministers of the new covenant. So that's the unifier. The new covenant brings Jew and Gentile together. There aren't separate messages. We read in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And I tell you, Bob, it's just like us humans to try to make this more complicated, to try to make it into rocket science, when it is so simple and straightforward that even a child can understand it. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. If you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're an American, if you're an African, if you're an Asian, it makes no difference where you come from. If you're a Jewish person, a different bloodline, a different lineage, a different heritage from that, we're all unified in Christ. There's one message, and it is the gospel of grace.
Absolutely. And this gospel has been out there. I mean, God has been telling this story since the very beginning. And I love how how Paul puts this in Galatians chapter 3, when he talks about the fact that God, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." Well, who was in Abraham? Well, Jesus. Jesus is the one who blesses the world, and all who call upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved.
Yes, indeed.
It's good news.
It's
right
good
there.
News. That's basic gospel
yes,
stuff
indeed.
Right there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Glad you're with us. We'd love for you to join us by phone. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can call straight into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and again, we're glad you're with us. And friends, we've been talking about Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a wonderful milepost this month as it hits 5 years of reaching people, helping readers discover that the Christian life is not about doing, but about being, about resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And friends, as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy to say thank you for stepping up and standing with us. But we hope you'll go beyond that. We hope you'll help us celebrate 5 years of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by ordering an extra copy or two for your family, your friends, or your workmates. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Then to order multiple copies, visit the specific website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Bob, I know you agree. We would love to see the message get out.
Absolutely. And Andrew, I know as you minister to people and as we minister to people, one of the things we want to see people experience is this rest, this Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, this Sabbath rest that comes from truly resting in what Christ accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the word we want to get out. That's the message that is really changing lives. And that is the message that is helping people to grow in the grace of God, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and empowering them to live as children of God in this world of darkness. So we're not just asking to help spread some nice, kind words. We're asking to spread the power of the gospel to transform, to change lives, to put peace and rest in the souls of men and women, and empower in their lives so that they can truly live out who they are in Christ Jesus.
The good news of the gospel right there.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And guys, we had this question from Sally in Burnaby, Canada. She says, because I came to Christ at age 4 and am now elderly, I can see that I've lived too much in the grace and joy without thinking about the times I could have gone to the Lord and seriously wanted his grace to overcome the sins, the failures, and mistakes that I made or repented of more than once. These may not have been the worst kind, and I have led a basically good life, good and moral life. However, would it not have helped me to have made the effort to apologize to the Lord and ask him to help me overcome? Was my sin an offense to him, even though by his grace I'm already forgiven? Isn't that what will help me grow to be more like Jesus? Thank you for your response.
Well, that's a great question, and I would say, you know, in a way, unfortunately, the answer to that is going to be more grace, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, it's grace upon grace, and here you are, my friend, looking back on your life and saying, well, this could have been this way, I should have done this, what if I would have done this, and so on and so forth, and I would just encourage you to look at things differently. I mean, first of all, it is the grace of God that you stand in, and you're a forgiven person. I hear what you're saying. You know, 30 years ago, you could have done this. 10 years ago, you could have done that. And the enemy loves to have a heyday with that sort of rationale. And as a result, you end up succumbing to all kinds of accusation and condemnation. Well, that's not where God has you. God has you living in today. He has you knowing and resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, saying, my sins are gone, I've been set free. I mean, we sing this stuff and we say this stuff all the days of our lives, but then at these special times, what we really believe is put to the test. And as far as, you know, maybe you should have repented more and all of that, I mean, are you currently doing these things that you're worried about? I'm imagining not. You're rewinding to what could have been and what should have been, but you're not doing those things anymore. And so, have you turned from them? Are you still doing them? It sounds to me like you've got that new heart. You're following your new heart. The Lord is living with you in the present. He's teaching you his grace right now. We cannot change the past. All we can do is look to the blood of Christ and say, it's more than enough. It is finished. I'm a forgiven person. And Bob, I know that sincere, earnest, eager children of God all over the world, we get closer and closer to heaven in this life, and the enemy tries to pour on the guilt and pour on the accusation and have us play that old movie of our lives about what we could have done better. And it's really a trap, isn't it?
It is a trap. I remember being in a hospital room of somebody that I had known for a long, long time, and one of the most strongest people in as far as their faith in Christ was concerned, their assurance. And then as he's in his hospital bed, he looked at me and said, "Bob, I don't know if I've done enough. I should have taught more Sunday school classes. I should have done this." And his assurance was waning at that time. And I looked at him and said, "Let's go back over this gospel message. Let's go over the fact that this story that you're living in is Christ's story. He's the one that died to forgive your sins. He was the one that was buried. He was the one that was raised from the dead. So if you look back at your life, did you do enough? Absolutely not. But thank God Jesus did. That's the story. That's the good news. Yes. So let's rest right there." And the other thing, Andrew, that I was thinking about, and I want to throw this back to you, do you think a lot of times we kind of look at our lives right now and they're not as good as we had hoped they would be, and so we start to blame our past and we think God is withholding a blessing from me today because of what I did yesterday? Yeah. And don't we need to come back to the fact to say that all of Christ is available to me right now?
Yeah, you know, I just got an email the other day, Bob, from someone who was asking, you know, what Bible verse do I need to claim, or what do I need to do to unlock God's blessing? I feel like it's all locked up and I've got to unlock it. And I think that is a pervasive idea. And what we really need to see is, you want blessing? Well, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the blessing, and you've got him in spades. You're not lacking. You're complete. You've got everything you need for life and godliness. You don't need to go shopping or hunting for some new blessing to come your way. And yeah, I think especially with coronavirus, with this pandemic, there are a lot of people who've been stuck at home for a long time. What happens is boredom sets in. Next thing you know, they're analyzing their every move. They're looking back on their past, going shoulda, woulda, coulda. And we have to be careful with that, because we're playing a judge and jury there of our own court case, and God's really not interested. I mean, God has told us that if we're in him and he's in us, and we therefore have the beautiful privilege of bearing the fruit of the Spirit, well, there you have it. That is life, and that is meaning, and that is purpose. Knowing Jesus and expressing Jesus, it can happen in your house. It can happen with a job at IBM. It can happen at a job at the local elementary school. It can happen anywhere and everywhere, no matter the size of your family or the prestige of your job or whatever it is that you had as an expectation. Let it go, because that is not where purpose and meaning is found. It is found in Jesus, and you've got all of him that you'll ever need.
Absolutely. Well, B, who's watching us on YouTube, said this: "Yes, Bob, I feel that way, that I'm standing in the way of God giving me his best." And I guess the answer to that, Andrew, is simply this: that God has already given all of us his best. Why? Because he's given us himself. Yes. When we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we get Jesus. And that's God's best. God so loved that he sent his only begotten son. And his best, God's best, is living inside of us. So we're not standing in the way of anything. It's actually already ours. Yeah. And I think when we start rejoicing in that and start thanking God for giving us his best, sending Jesus through the Spirit to live inside of us, then life kind of takes on a whole different look and feel, doesn't it?
Yes, and I want to say also, you know, we have certainly declared that Jesus is God's best, but I want to stretch us a little bit here and say also that God's plan for you and me, for all of us, God's plan is his best, and the new creation that he made us is his best. And it's high time that we stop looking at ourselves as some sort of obstacle. You know, is it going to be God's best, or is it just going to be me? You know, am I in God's way all the time? Am I messing him up? I mean, look, this is the God of the universe. We're not messing him up. His plans are not thwarted. Sure, the flesh can be nasty. We can have some fleshy ideas sometimes. We can chase after rainbows and, you know, all these unrealistic expectations. We can waste some time walking after the flesh. But what I'm saying is, guys, I mean, when Jesus makes you new and he joins you to himself, the last thing on his mind is this guy or this girl, she's going to get in my way. That is the last thing on his mind. He's thinking, I've invited you to the table. You're part of this. It was already me. It was all of me and none of you. But I created you, I pursued you, I saved you, I made you righteous, I joined you to me. So what if you, as the new creation, what if you joined to Jesus? What if that is God's best and it can be enjoyed right here, right now, in the privacy of your own home, running around the planet frantically, doing your job, wherever you are, Christ is with you and there's no greater purpose or meaning.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and thank you for being with us, everybody. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to call right into the studio right now because we'd love to hear your voice live, and you can do that, as I said, at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, from Ponder, Texas, a question from Wayne, a question about the Holy Spirit. Wayne says, I understand his role in the Trinity as of now. He intercedes for us in our prayers and convicts us of our sins to repent, but most of all, lives within us to lead us spiritually. So I'm wondering, what will be the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity after our redemption and when we are with the Lord?
Lots of good stuff in this particular question, Andrew. And first, let's talk about the role of the Spirit in our lives right now. So Wayne lists out that he intercedes for us in our prayers and then convicts us of our sins to repent. Is that exactly what the Holy Spirit does inside of us? Isn't he constantly reminding us who we are in Christ, that we indeed are children of God? Isn't he constantly bringing to mind that our sins have been forgiven, that we are forgiven people, that we've been made righteous, that we are in union, that we have the love of God in our hearts, and that he teaches us what this love of God is all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to survey 100 Christians and ask them, what's the Holy Spirit doing in your life? Quickly, within the first sentence or two, they're going to say, convict, convict. He's always convicting me. And I think we got to be careful using this word, first of all, because the Bible itself says the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of their sins because they do not believe in me, Jesus says. So that's the world being convicted of their unbelief in Christ. But as far as this word convict, I just say, hang on, put the brakes on, you know, take that with a grain of salt to dig a little deeper, and you discover the word convict, I mean, it is used for convicts. It's used for criminals. It's used for people who are on trial. They end up accused and ultimately condemned, and they are convicted of some crime and then punished. Well, if we run around using this word for God's treatment of his children, I think it can lead to all kinds of false guilt and also really the enemy condemning and us thinking that that's the Holy Spirit. So let's get this straight. I mean, Hebrews says the Holy Spirit is fully aware of your forgiveness. It says, the Holy Spirit also testifies, your sins and lawless acts I remember no more. So if the Holy Spirit is keeping no record of your wrongs, then we got to see his training as training for the future. It's not punishment for the past. It's not treating us like convicts. So you're right, Bob. The Holy Spirit is here to comfort us and counsel us and guide us into truth and teach us who we are, bear witness with our spirit about our identity. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Does this impact behavior? Yes. Does it change our attitudes? Absolutely. That's the renewing of the mind. But the Holy Spirit does it in a way that does not criticize or belittle us. He is building us up in Christ.
Yes, indeed. One last part of this question. So Wayne is wondering, after our bodies, we've been given new bodies, and you know, all things are made new, the New Jerusalem and all of this. What role will the Holy Spirit have for us then? I'm assuming that once we've been joined to the Holy Spirit, once we're in union with the Holy Spirit, that's an eternal reality. So nothing's going to change once we the redemption of the body takes place through the resurrection. We're always going to be in union, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the underlying assumption here is that we need the Holy Spirit for a little while, and then later we won't need him. And I would love for us to shift that viewpoint and say, well, actually, you know, there's nothing dirty about us. There's nothing rotten about us right now. We are saints. We are one with one spirit with the Lord. And that's going to be just as true in heaven. That's going to be just as true for eternity. I mean, the relationship that we have then, we've already started now. And I really hope that can sink in, that the relationship we'll have at a future date, that's already started now. Yes. It's as good as it gets. Yes, we're going to get that body, but joined to Jesus, fellowshipping with the Spirit, that's the same as it will ever be.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to a caller. Let's talk with Lisa, listening to us in Texas. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can. What's on your mind today?
Somehow I thought, since I told him that he was going to convey it, let me collect my thoughts.
Well, we do know that you have some adult children that are probably not living exactly the way you think they should, and you're dealing with some guilt over that. Is that right?
Yes, two of the three girls especially. The other one's studying and learning and developing, but yes, and I understand guilt's ungodly, and I understand what to do with that, and I work on it, but I wonder, obviously prayer is the best thing I can do, and being available to them, and being an example myself, living like I'm trying to convey to them to live, but I was wondering if you have some other advice and or scriptural reference.
Okay,
for
great.
Me to study later.
Great question, Lisa.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I would say Romans tells us to accept one another. That doesn't mean that we accept what people are doing. We could have some pretty severe disagreements with the direction our children are going. But I believe that ultimately, in the long run, when they look at this 10 years, 20 years down the line, they're going to say, was mom there for me? Was she available? Was she loving toward me? And I believe that ultimately you're right about that prayer thing. I would say release them into the hands of the Lord. Release those expectations. Be available to the Spirit. Be ready to give an account of this hope that is within you to them. And, you know, just that steady presence of Christ in you and expressing that love, that is where it's at.
Yeah, well, Lisa, we're out of time. I want to put you on hold, and we'll put some resources into your hands that I think can be a benefit to you, okay? You hang
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for being with us. If you have a Bible question or need scriptural guidance for an issue you may be struggling with, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. And remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate your prayers and gifts to help us keep going day by day. Make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. And to celebrate the fifth anniversary of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we'll send you a copy to say thanks for standing with us in this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus. We hope you'll make your gift now at basicgospel.net. To order extra copies for family members or friends, visit simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, that website is simplegospelsimplygrace.com, and it's been put there specifically for you to order the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to do that and spread this good news with everybody you know, everybody in your realm of influence. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with a big thank you to Andrew for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.